Our reading for Monday, April 20th begins in John chapter 19 and verse 1. John 19, verse 1. Then Pilate took Jesus and flogged him, and the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. They came up to him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they struck him with their hands. Pilate went out again and said to them, "See, I am bringing him out to you so that you may know that I find no guilt in him." So Jesus came out, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to that law he ought to die because he has made himself the Son of God." When Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid. He entered his headquarters again and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate said to him, "You will not speak to me? Do you not know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you?" Jesus answered him, "You would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given to you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me over to you has the greater sin." From then on, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, "If you release this man, you are not Caesar's friend. Everyone who makes himself a king opposes Caesar." So when Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judgment seat at a place called the Stone Pavement, and in Aramaic, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about the sixth hour. He said to the Jews, "Behold your king." They cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." So he delivered him over to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus, and he went out bearing his own cross to the place called the Place of a Skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. So the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write 'the King of the Jews,' but rather 'the man said, I am King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be." This was to fulfill the scripture which says, "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." So the soldiers did these things, but standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour the disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, to fulfill the scripture, "I thirst." A jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished," and he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Since it was the day of preparation, and so that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. And the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. He who saw it has borne witness. His testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, that you also may believe. For these things took place that the scripture might be fulfilled, "Not one of his bones will be broken." And another scripture says, "They will look on him whom they have pierced." After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took away his body. Nicodemus also, who earlier had come to Jesus by night and bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds in weight. So they took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen cloths with the spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. Now in the place where he was crucified there was a garden, and in the garden was a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. So because of the Jewish day of preparation, since the tomb was close at hand, they laid Jesus there. We saw yesterday from chapter 18 that as Pilate interviews Jesus, he doesn't really find any cause for putting him to death. And the way John presents his account gives me the impression that Pilate was hoping that if he abused Jesus and beat him and scourged him in such a way that the Jews might decide that that was enough. He was hoping that would appease them without putting him to death. Because verse 4, he states there in chapter 19, I am bringing him out to you that you may know that I find no guilt in him. So this was after they've beat him, and when they brought him out, he has this crown of thorns. He's in the purple robe, and they're mocking him. But instead of being satisfied with this, they begin to call out, crucify him, crucify him. Pilate doesn't want to do this. Verse 6, he says, take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him. But they make this statement, he deserves to die because of what he said, calling himself the Son of God. And this bothers Pilate. He doesn't want an uproar. He doesn't want a problem with the Jews. His position as the ruler of that area would be put in jeopardy if he ends up with a riot on his hands. So he's concerned about this. And that's why later on when they say everyone who makes himself a king opposes Caesar, and that they claim that Caesar is their only king, that puts him in that precarious position. Now, other accounts do give us a little bit more information interspersed in here. But when we're talking about flogging and we're talking about abusing in Jesus in such a way, we're talking about a pretty severe treatment. The way that they would beat them was with a scourge that had leather strips on them, and that would be bad enough to whip a person with those leather strips. But these particular strips would have these bones attached to them so that when they were flogging them with these leather strips, that would attach to the flesh, and when they pull back, that would tear open their back. And so it would leave them with very, very severe wounds on their back. And I've always felt like this must have been especially bad when you consider that they do this. They put the robe on him, they take him around, and then they take the robe back off. Well, that robe would have been against that flesh, and hopefully the flesh would have started clotting from the bleeding, and then they pull the robe off, and that probably would have made him start bleeding again. And of course, the crown of thorns would have been painful as well. So all of this is an excruciating experience for Jesus, and he hasn't even reached the point of being crucified yet. So I always give Pilate a little bit of credit. You know, he did ask what is truth, indicating that his train of thought is that, you know, truth is probably a subjective type of thing. But Pilate really does not want to take a person that he considers to be not guilty, a person that is not guilty of something that is worthy of being put to death. He doesn't want to be guilty of putting them to death himself. And in other accounts, we even see his wife making this statement that the blood of Jesus shouldn't be on his hands. And he ends up washing his hands in front of them and says, his blood be on your heads, and the Jews accept that. But anyway, in John's account here, Pilate, you know, interviews Jesus again after they have made this statement. He had made himself the Son of God. Verse 9, he says, where are you from? Jesus doesn't give him an answer. He says, don't you understand that I have authority over this situation? Verse 11 says, you don't have any authority except what's been given to you. Understand that if Jesus did not submit himself to this situation, that none of this could be done to him. Jesus is allowing these things to be done to him. He has complete power to release himself, but this is part of the eternal plan of God, and so he submits to it. And then verse 12, Pilate again seeks to release him. The Jews cry out, "If you release this man, you're not Caesar's friend." So basically, that's a threat. They're saying, "We will tell on you to Caesar and to others to say that you are a friend of someone who would oppose Caesar, and so you would oppose Caesar yourself." So Pilate, being the politician that he is, he wants to keep his position. He doesn't want the uproar. And so he decides that he'll go along with this. Verse 14, it was the day of preparation. It was about the sixth hour, which would have been about noon. He says, "Behold your king." Again, they say, "Crucify him." And so he delivered him over to be crucified. Bears his own cross to the place of a skull, Golgotha. They crucified him with two others. Pilate puts this inscription, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." The Jews don't like that very much. They don't want him to be crucified as King of the Jews. They want him to be to have an accusation against him that he claimed to be, but they didn't accept him. So they didn't like that too much, but Pilate says, "I've already done it. What I've written, I've written." Verse 23, they take his garments, divided into four parts, but his tunic was a seamless tunic, which was a high-quality tunic, basically. And so they don't want to tear this, but they cast lots for it. This was fulfillment of Scripture. Verse 24, his mother and his mother's sister, Mary and Mary Magdalene, are here, and Jesus sees the disciple whom he loves, and he says to his mother, "Behold your son," and then to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And so this disciple takes her in order to care for her as if she was his own mother. Verse 28, in order to fulfill Scripture, he says, "I thirst." Other accounts tell us that he's offered something to drink twice. He only accepts when it's this sour wine, which would have given him a little bit of a reaction so that he can make a statement, and it is finished, and then gives up his spirit. Verse 31, since it's the day of preparation, they don't want the bodies to stay up there. They ask for the legs to be broken. That's because in order to take each breath, they would have had to lift themselves up on the cross with their hands and with their feet. And if their legs are broken, they will quickly run out of strength, and then they will die of suffocation. So they come around, they break the legs of the first, and then of the second. They come to Jesus, and he's already dead. They pierce his side, out comes blood and water. And verse 35, this is, you know, basically saying this is eyewitness testimony. This testimony is true, and it is shared so that you may believe. Verse 36, this is a fulfillment of scripture that not one of his bones will be broken. And then another one, they will look on him whom they have pierced. So after this, you have two secret disciples, Joseph of Arimathea, as well as Nicodemus, that come to take the body. Nicodemus brings 75 pounds worth of myrrh and aloes. Not sure what the cost would be of that. I think I remember seeing it once about the cost, but I don't recall what that was. But it couldn't have been inexpensive for that much. So they take the body of Jesus and care for it. They have some care about how his body is put into a tomb. And so they wrap it in the linen cloths and the spices, according to the burial customs of the Jews. And they put it in that new tomb that belonged to Joseph of Arimathea. And the tomb was close there. It was available to get him in there before dark, before the end of the day is counted, so that the Sabbath would start and they would still be able to partake in that Sabbath preparation. So they're done with it here, and then in chapter 20 we're going to get into his resurrection. So I hope that this has been beneficial for you. It's important for us to understand, especially that None of this was done to Jesus without Jesus allowing it to happen, and all of this was part of the plan of God. The men thought they were victorious over Jesus, who claimed to be the Son of God, who claimed to be the Christ, but in fact, it was Jesus that was fulfilling the plan of God and being victorious over sin and death itself in his crucifixion. And that's very important for us as disciples to understand and comprehend. I ask that you continue in prayer, especially for those that are on our prayer list, those that have been in the hospitals, and prayer that we might continue to be safe from the virus. We pray also that God continue to be with us and bless us during this time. If I can be of any assistance to you, please reach out to me. I will be happy to speak to you, pray for you, and help you in any way that I can. Please come back tomorrow for another reading from the book of John and chapter 20.